Welcome to Security Sales and Integration Security Speaking Podcast. I'm Scott Goldfein, Editor-in-Chief of SSI. I thank you for listening as each week we discuss the trends, issues, opportunities, challenges, technologies, and more affecting today's electronic security industry professional. As a reminder, the program's available via iTunes as well as at securitysales.com, so tell a friend. My guest today is Chuck Wilson, Executive Director of the National Systems Contractors Association. And Chuck also has 21 years of experience as a systems integrator himself. Before joining NSCA in 1996, some of that was as a partner with a communications engineering company, a low-voltage electronics contracting firm. In his present capacity, Chuck assists contractors with business challenges. He participates in several trade organizations and maintains a visible presence as both a speaker at industry events and being published in numerous trade journals. Chuck, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Scott. I'm glad to be here.
And Chuck, NSCA certainly is a well-known and respected organization, but I think there might be some ambiguity out there, especially in the security industry, about its direction and membership and how relevant it is to them as security systems integrators. Could you please define today's NSCA for us, its membership makeup, and the breakdown of markets and technology specializations?
Sure. And there is some confusion about that. But today, what NSCA is a very focused organization on the system integrator with all systems moving towards a networked environment and becoming more converged or more integrated in the applications. What we have done with our leadership of NSCA and the direction of our staff has become very focused on the business aspects of all integration firms, regardless of the technology focus. So I know that because of our history, most people see us as a audio contractors association, a sound contractors association, but in reality, the 2011 version of NSCA is that about half of our members are in physical security, do the life safety, fire alarm systems, physical security, CCTV, and so on. So there's a huge crossover from what NSCA was with focused on sound to now where we are with focused on everything being a technology agnostic type association with those applications being more on the network than they ever were before.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that was more due to different types of members joining, or just that the members that were there expanded?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I assume both, but even the traditional members, like I look at my old company and a lot of the people I was on the board with years ago, is those companies are now a full systems integration company that do voice, video, data security, audio, sound reinforcement, fire alarm. They tend to do, the larger ones tend to do more and more of these technologies. But in the last maybe 4 or 5 years, we've struck partnerships with other security organizations, and we've seen a lot of pure, what I would call electronic physical security companies coming on board, and a lot of them that do fire alarm systems as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, as an installing security integrator, in what ways could participation in NSCA or its activities bring me value?
Well, I think it comes down to providing the needed resources for improving business performance. In other words, making money, profitability on each and every project is harder and harder, and we've got some best practices on how to do that and how to manage a company in terms of being mindful of the profits on each job. And we really are working towards helping the business owner build equity and value in their company. We provide a lot of research and benchmarking, so we'll take a look at how the typical NSCA member, how their financials look, and then our other members, new members and ones that are having issues can lay on top of that how their financials look and kind of see where they're out of alignment with the traditional member, the average member. We also do a ton with project management. We have a big program here that basically helps companies get that job closed out properly, make sure they understand contract documents and how to manage the project properly and how to not lose money at the tail end and manage the scope of work and so on. Just, it goes on and on. The other things we do are sales skills and trends, you know, how to spot a trend in a marketplace that's right for your company, and then making sure you have the right sales strategy in place and make sure you have the right people in place to capture that opportunity. Leadership is a big thing. Is we've had more and more problems these days with the lack of leadership, I would call it, in a company, because like most of us, we got into this just kind of by accident that we're business owners and senior managers. We maybe had a particular technical skill and found ourselves one day owning our own company. So what we've stepped back to do a lot the last couple of years is really focus on business and management, leadership, sales strategies, project management skills, and then helping companies build the right organizational structure for what kind of company that they envision and that they want, and that they know that there's profitable work out there and that they have a ability to show a profit year in and year out by creating this plan and this the right organization for their marketplace. So, you know, to me, the value of NSCA is really how to run your business better and us providing the tools and resources that we have.
Now, about what's the membership at now in terms of number of companies, roughly?
Well, we have about 2,000 members, but they break down. The primary segment of our members are system contractors and integrators. So that's the lion's share of that. The other members include consulting firms, and we have a lot of manufacturer members that sponsor the organization. We have like rep firms, independent rep firms, where they might carry a couple different product lines. So we have quite a cross section of members, but we're really, you know, we're a contractor and integrator organization. So that's who we really represent.
Now, we touched on this a bit already, but as far as the trend goes, do you see more of the pro AV guys that are, you know, more strictly in that domain expanding into security, or more security integrators expanding into Pro AV, or, you know, what's the dynamic and the trend there, and what are the challenges and opportunities wrapped up in that?
Well, and that's a great question, and I think, you know, we could add to that now, what about the networking companies looking at both AV and physical security? So we have a lot of people looking at the industry from the outside. I always describe it as a swinging door kind of thing. When the, you know, one group, like the security integrators, are looking at AV, you can bet when that door swings one way, it's going to swing back the other way too. So, to me, I see this whole thing, to answer your question, I see the whole, this MNEC thing that we're big into now, this mass notification, emergency communications, the audio evacuation and security and digital signage, this whole life safety systems movement is causing great interest from both of these camps. And I think the need for strategic alliances between them has never been greater. And I say that because I'm not a big fan of or promoting companies doing things without proper expertise. So I don't recommend that an AV contractor jump into security or a security guy get into, you know, the, you know, audio evacuation stuff necessarily, but I'm a huge fan of those companies partnering, you know, finding like-minded companies within an area that are non-competitive to work together to be able to meet the demands of these network-based huge systems that are going in right now. So the commonality, to me, I see the commonality being the network, and both of those technology sectors have become, you know, they're playing in this network-enabled environment now. So devices such as an IP camera or a projector, you know, whatever the case might be, a display device, digital signage device, they mostly are moving over towards becoming nodes or applications on the network. So I see this moving closer and closer together every day. Now, we have, you know, like a scope of work type document in like the CSI master format, we have Division 27 and we have Division 28 that kind of define all the the work elements differently between communications and AV versus, you know, physical security and so on. But I'm starting to see more and more that things are coming together, and they're doing it fairly quickly. And it's because, you know, the end users and owners and consultants, they just don't see the need to have all these separate disparate systems when, in reality, we know how to make them work better, create a better solution by integrating these systems. So I see it moving both ways.
And, of course, a group like NSCA is a terrific platform to make those connections and make those partnerships to work together in such a manner like you're describing to maximize the value and also the benefits to that end customer.
Yeah, Scott, that's exactly why it's been so crazy around here lately, is that we're getting calls from both sides. I could literally spend my entire day answering questions about, say, for example, the NFPA 72, you know, for the first time in history, this mass notification devices can override the fire alarm system, and that's never, ever happened in my lifetime anyway, where a code says that you can do that kind of thing. So now I've got the security people asking me about, you know, what do they need to know about this code change, and I've got the audio people who provide the emergency audio evac asking the same kind of question. So what I'm seeing is that from both angles, people are looking to NSCA. We sit beautifully right in the middle of those two camps, I guess, and so people are asking us to get involved in all these activities and help put those, you know, relationships, help build the relationships between those entities. Yeah.
Now, of course, with your decades of integrator experience, you know all too well that the traditional model was, you know, basically on the project, and now we have this movement toward, you know, building longer term relationships with recurring revenue and that sort of thing. It's a big push on the security side. I'm not as close to the AV side, so I don't know if they're also pushing recurring revenue. But can you speak to that a little bit and how you're approaching that through the organization to, you know, help those integrators generate recurring long-term revenue?
Sure. You know, and I guess we can call it managed services maybe, or service contract, you know, whatever you want to call it. But monthly recurring revenue, the RMR, it's a big thing. It's a hot button on both sides, on AV as well as security. Now, it's a little more challenging at this point on the AV side because of the perhaps mission-critical nature of the application. Certainly, if you're looking at nurse call systems or emergency communications and all that, it absolutely has great potential for RMR. Other things might not yet, but recurring monthly revenue is, in my opinion, that is the answer to building owner equity and a strong balance sheet, and to build ongoing relationships beyond just the project installation. I've always, you know, and I coach people and talk about this constantly to people, but I always say that doing a project means nothing but a one-time sale. Unless you can convert that project somehow into becoming a client or a true customer, developing a relationship. So when that warranty period is over, most people just walk away, you know, whether it's AV, security, whatever. They don't have the mindset necessarily of, can I make more money off of a fixed billing, you know, each month, or should I just take no risk and do it on time and material basis if they ever call me back? I adamantly stress that RMR means everything to a company in terms of the value that they build up, if they ever want to sell their business, if they ever want to, you know, increase their bonding capacity or go to a new bank or whatever. That's where the value gets built, is by the amount of financial strength that you have on paper. It's the contracts that you have in place that really starts building the worth of that company and allows you to have more flexibility in what you do later on with the business. So, yes, to answer your question, absolutely, it's a big thing on both sides.
Now, I think we've probably danced around some of these, but I'd like to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you, Chuck, if you could pinpoint the top three challenges facing NSCA member companies today and some of the strategies you're recommending to overcome them.
Yeah, this is actually pretty easy for me because I'm on the phone constantly with people that are calling in about, you know, challenges, I guess. But number one, to me, is making a profit on jobs, and that's due to eroding margins and strong competitions. And the bottom line on that is that we used to see like two or three bidders, qualified bidders on every project, and now there's something like maybe 7 to 10 bidders, and a lot of times they come from far away. They are people that are more or less coming in, swooping in, picking off, you know, cherry picking that key project in the area, and it's very hard for the small system integrator to oftentimes compete on that basis. So that's, to me, profitability on each and every job is really the key, and with margins eroding, you know, the prices are out there on the internet and all sorts of stuff that is creating a very competitive environment on the product side. And like we talked about, you know, that's what's driving the service side of the business, of course. But making that transition from a service-minded company, you know, from a product sales company to a service-minded company, that's a lot harder than it really looks. So that's one. The second thing I would say is the availability of financing and bonding. So it's the whole cash flow, receivables. You know, the banks are so cautious right now, and many of the integrators, their balance sheets, because of the last couple years, they've started to, you know, weaken. Their balance sheet doesn't look as good if they've had a couple bad years in a row. So it's really that thing about having the relationship with the bank, managing the cash flow, the receivables, 90-day plus payments from, you know, if you're working for another contractor or from the general, whatever, the payment terms have just been stretched out so bad, which causes you to need a higher line of credit and so on and so forth. And then a lot of contract issues on these projects where people are playing games at the tail end of a job and they're trying to stretch out the payments and they find these random contractual, you know, closeout issues that keep your money tied up and all that. So I would say that whole finance thing, the money thing, that's the second thing. The third thing might surprise you a little bit, but I really think that right now one of the top three challenges is the absence of strong leadership and documented business strategies. And why I say that is that when we see companies, there's a lot of businesses that are complaining to me about they're losing their key employees, they're bailing out on them, the salespeople are randomly chasing unprofitable work, and they're making a lot of mistakes on jobs. They feel like they become a jack of all trades instead of the specialist they once were. In order to keep their sales numbers high, they're bidding on, you know, like these one-off projects, things that they're really not a specialist in. And they're bidding these things below their minimum mark. They know what it takes to make money on a job, or at least most of them do. But they're willing to take something underneath that minimum mark. And I think a lot of it comes from the manufacturers and the reps and everybody are out there giving advice to the business owners about, oh, you need to diversify, you need to spread out, you need to start picking up, you know, more type of work. And I think some people lose their focus because of that. So here I am preaching to our members to stay focused, you know, do what you do best, you know, partner with others if you don't understand it. But yet you've got sales reps who are trying to build their sales volume, of course, and manufacturers trying to boost up their sales, telling everyone they need to diversify. You got to get into this market, this one, you got to move from, you know, just education into healthcare, whatever it might be. And I think because of that, we're having some people become like a jack of all trade, and that causes confusion within their own company, and their strategies go out the window, and they, you know, the business owner is locked in his office worrying about the stock market when they need to be directing their people and so on. So it's kind of a weird third answer for the challenges, I think, but I'd like people to stop and think about that in their own company a little bit.
Great stuff, Chuck. You know, on behalf of all the integrators out there, thank you for all the great work you do to help the integrator community.
Well, it's what I get paid to do. You know, it's what I'm here for, and I just think it's such a wonderful thing for me. I always tell people I got the best job in the industry because I can, you know, I sold my business and I've been able to stay connected to the industry that I love by being able to help others, you know, and help them make their business better. So that's really what NSCA is about, you know, is to help them solve problems, because many of our members have been through the same thing that you're going through, kind of thing. So that's what's fun about this.
Well, that about wraps up our time. I want to thank you again, Chuck, for spending the time with us today and sharing those insights.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Appreciate you having me do this.
I'd like to remind listeners, for comments or questions, please email me directly at scott.goldfein@securitysales.com. And thank you for listening.